All right. Welcome to episode 224 of the Linux Slugcast. We're an open podcast / slug that meets at 9 p.m. Eastern every first and third Friday of the month using Mumble. If you have any questions, comments, or topics you'd like us to discuss and are unable to join us live during the show, you can send us email at feedback@linuxslugcast.com. We have a subreddit, which I don't think anybody checks because mostly most of the stuff has been going to Lemmy now.
Speaking of that... Our Lemmy has more subscribers than our Reddit does now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. It seems like every couple of months we switch what we're on ever since Google Plus went down. We moved over to MeWe. After a while, MeWe, we went to Reddit. From Reddit, we went to Lemmy. So right now, we're going to stick with Lemmy. We have a Matrix room where we kind of hang out and talk, which at this point has just turned into kind of a bragging spot for people in their many games.
It's whether, a game room.
Yeah, it is basically just a place where if you scroll through it now, it's just posts of people bragging about either how well or how crappy they did in whatever online game. And it's not like anything crazy. It's mostly just, let me bring it up, was it crosswords?
It's a million different symbols. Like, if you don't know about the online games, you would think we're speaking some kind of alien language.
Right. We're doing connections, duo, trigor. Somebody want to say that one for me?
Duo, trigordal.
That's it.
Wordle.
The New York Times mini crossword. Framed, still doing framed.
Framed.
Yeah.
Move it all. It's just a bunch of red and green and yellow squares. That's how the Matrix room looks.
It's just basically people bragging about their little games. Yeah. Did you crack the screen on that? Or?
Oh, no. There's a screen protector on it.
Oh, okay.
This is my phone.
Yeah.
On this side. And then on the back, I have
a little Game Boy.
It'll turn on. Oh, if I push the right button, it might turn on.
Now, how? Is it just super flat?
Yeah.
Did you get that for your birthday?
Yeah.
What is it?
I can play Super Mario on it.
Cool.
It's a Game Boy?
It's a Game Boy phone case.
Oh, okay, cool.
Friggin' nuts. And Mortensy is showing off his crazy colored keyboard.
He's got an RGB keyboard.
Clicking. What type of keys are those?
Programmable.
Is it programmable?
I think all of them that I got were.
Is that the clicky keys?
Yeah, I was going to say clicky switches? cherry reds over there.
Blues, if they're clicky.
Blues.
Oh.
Mechanical switches.
Yeah, that sounds like some blues there.
Yeah, you gotta love the clicky.
No, you don't.
I love the texture of the bigger mechanical keyboards, though.
I love clicky keyboards.
I got this one here that's soft, and it's fine. It works, but I mean, it's not as cool as this one. And this one, that's nice little clicky keyboard.
My other one has round typewriter type keys, but it's got the RGB also, and it's got blue switches. And I set my phone on speaker when I'm in meetings at work and just type away.
I love doing that. One of my favorite things to do at work.
Now, do you like the round keys better, or did it just make a difference at all?
I think I do like them more, but it doesn't have a number pad on the right-hand side, and I'm used to typing in my numbers that way, so it does slow me down from time to time.
You know what's funny is my keyboards down here don't have the number pad either, but I definitely miss it because at work I use it a lot.
You can get a little USB one for a couple bucks.
I actually think I have one around here because there was a time when I had... I was tired of fighting for keyboards for, the computers at work. So I took this old computer and it used to run like Windows 98. And what I did is I put TinyCore Linux on it. And the only thing it ran was Oh, it was like a super dead simple spreadsheet program, and I think it might have had a basically like a little Word document program. I forget which ones they were, but they were like the lowest grade spreadsheet programs, and it just, that's all I basically needed for. I used it to keep track of sales and like I had movements and stuff, and so I'd take that and I'd plug it up to it, and that's how I put all the numbers in, was through the little numpad I had on the side, which it might still be kicking around. I think part of it broke off though. I don't know, it's around here. I'll look for it at some point. I should probably finish this intro. So if you want to figure out where to get a hold of us, check out the show notes, check out linuxlugcast.com. You'll see all the links to things like our YouTube channel, where there's a video version of this that Minix does, and it's very amusing. you get to see these beautiful faces and some of what we were just talking about. So you get to see Morton C's fancy colored keyboard and Joe's Game Boy phone case. But you have to go to either YouTube or PeerTube to be able to see those. And yeah, I'm your host for this evening, Honky Magoo. Which I think we should go back into. So when this show first started off, we basically, there was no specified host. We just kind of rotated whoever was hosting. I think we needed to go back to that, which I don't mind doing it if nobody else wants to volunteer. I know I've been trying for ages to try to get Ed Netminer, but I finally gave up on trying to get him to host.
Really? I'd love for Netminer to host. That'd be awesome.
What was the line? You were the Indian Netminer. We heard the word host. What was the line you always said when we asked you to host?
Don't pick on the old man.
I'm not picking on you. You always had a line. I'm just trying to remember what it was.
Yeah, the only good memory I've got is the 32 gigs of Crucial that I ordered today.
That's a good memory.
Doesn't remember.
Yeah, I think we need to move that one around again. Basically, it's the guy who's got to read the intro and the outro before each show. The rest of us kind of keep the rest of the show moving along, anyways. But
that sounds good.
Again, I don't want this podcast to feel like it's has anything to do with me. I'm just the guy who winds up posting it. I run my little script to do the audio editing, and then I post it. That's about it. It should be
your fearless leader.
I'm the leader of anything. I'm just the guy who who posts the thing. All right. So yeah, there's me, Hunky Magoo. With us tonight also is Joe, though he seems preoccupied at the moment. Very animatedly preoccupied, which if you're in the video, you get to see that. So we'll skip him.
His audio's not working or something.
Well,
he has his headphones off.
Yes. All right, so we'll skip Joe. We'll go to Lovecraft.
Good evening, everybody.
Minix.
Hello.
Morton C.
Good evening, everyone.
And at Miner.
Good evening, folks.
Buster. Is Tony in the chat?
Yes, he is.
Hi, Tony.
Yeah, I just had to switch my small screen because an old screen that I had seems to be dying.
Tony says hi.
All right.
Who is the elder of the show, Tony or Netminer? Are you older than Tony, Netminer, or is Tony older than you?
Since I don't know Tony's age, I can't tell you.
You have to say anyway.
Tony says he's 71.
I am
81?
71.
Goodness. I am...
Tony's going to be the oldest.
I'm going to be... Well, let's say I'm going to be retired next year.
So you're like the two dads of the show. We're like your sons. We're always acting up and pissing you off. So there's this movie called Laser Blast that came out in 1978.
I was hoping Joe would be able to talk about it.
What is he doing?
I don't know.
He's having a very important conversation with somebody. Let me message him. Text him real quick. Okay, I sent him a text message. We'll see if he responds. Or maybe it's something for work. It might be work involved, you know.
Maybe.
So should we just move to something else until he comes back on?
Sure.
Okay. Do that. I wanted to mention Netminers had a series of emails about some of the things he's been working on. You want to talk about that, Netminer? Your adventures with Cockpit and all that? MX Linux?
Well, I've just got Cockpit installed.
First, explain to us what Cockpit is, what it does.
Well, Cockpit is several things. It's a system manager that runs on... it's originally a Red Hat product, but it runs on several distros. It's a web interface to servers. It is a anointed successor to Vert Manager. Although to get the full power out of it, you still have to have Vert Viewer installed. It can manage, depending on what you got plugins, it manages VMs, Podman containers. I think there's web server management. There's user management. It's a general.
So it gives you a browser-based, like, graphic interface, right?
Graphic interface, console, VM creation, control, storage.
Hey, guys. Storage plugin. I'm sorry to interrupt, but one of my old Army buddies called with a question, and I'm trying to remember, what's that name of that firmware that goes on routers? It's not Tomato, it's...
OpenWRT?
OpenWRT, thank you. Or DDWRT, thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. We're waiting for you before we talk about the movie.
Thank you.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead, Netminer.
But it's got numerous functions, and it can be federated. However, it's a server manager in that it, unlike Mesh Central, there's no central server per se and clients. Each server would have its own Cockpit instance, and then you'd link the instances together.
So they're like sister instances, kind of.
Right, they're... I know one guy who's using Cockpit to replace Proxmox.
Hmm.
One of the nice things about it is that with Vert Viewer installed, it supports desktop agnostic links just like X2Go, but since it uses the SPICE protocol, that's supported under a lot of other operating systems besides Linux. And it's designed to be a VM to client. SPICE is designed to be a VM to client interface, so you can have device control, you can have audio control, you can have a lot of other things. That's why I compare it to X2Go.
And so you have been using this to do what? To deploy VMs? Or
I've been working out how to install it. It'll give you system graphs and stuff. The only YouTube video that I have that explains the installation is a DistroTube video, which I find a little hard to... see the commands that he activates. In order to get the graphs and stuff, you have a couple of things. something called PCP, and you add that, the cockpit PCP module in. As I said, I haven't worked with it much. I've been hacking on it, just getting started.
I put a link to the cockpit webpage in the show notes. The website has a bunch of screenshots and stuff on there. You can take a look. Thumbnails, the interface.
I mean, there's a bunch of stuff on YouTube about it as a server manager. The one thing that I ran across was somebody was running it on an Ubuntu desktop, and he didn't make it clear that he was doing that. He made it sound like he was managing an independent server, and what he was actually doing was running cockpit through localhost. Is perfectly fine, but the one comment that they besides mine was that cockpit was, he said running cockpit on servers, and as I wrote in some of my emails and comments, the every Linux desktop running X it was basically a server in fancy clothes, because that's the way it started out. Unix was a server system with teletype terminals, consoles. Then, part of Project Athena, they invented a system where a dumb graphics device at the end of a network cable was driven by your server. That's where your X server and X clients come from. Unfortunately, to try to create a Windows-style desktop, a lot of cruft was added to the X protocols, and the desktops, basically, the desktop window managers and whatnot tend to run right over for the network awareness of the old X protocols, because the primitives are not what modern desktops want. Wayland is a clean sheet of paper which produces a Windows-style desktop on your desktop machines. They're not, as far as I know, they're not even thinking about running Wayland across a network to another seat. Wayland, when you run Wayland, it assumes that you are at the keyboard with one mouse, one keyboard, one screen. Well, maybe more than one screen, but it's only single user. You still have multitasking, but you don't have multiple logins unless they're something else, like SSH.
Have you tried cockpit with the Raspberry Pi?
I haven't tried that, but then again, I'm still reestablishing my Raspberry Pi.
I was wondering, do they make a version for the Raspberry Pi? Or an ARM version?
I suspect there is. I don't know. I have heard that Raspberry Pi OS is a curated form of Debian, so I don't know whether they have a lot of the server stuff or not.
Cockpit is available for the Pi.
It is.
It's in the Debian repositories. So Netminer, when you were saying what you were saying earlier, if you install it on multiple machines, you can have them communicate?
Yes. Well, you can have I guess it's a federation sort of thing. Where
so like you could, if it's installed on all your devices, whatever device you're on, you can open up cockpit and see what's going on with the other machines.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a peer-to-peer system, or once you start federating things, if that is you start getting a hierarchy of some kind, because I haven't done more than one machine recently. Previously,
I'd only enabled it on one device. It worked to play around with it, but that was a few years ago. When I installed it recently on Rocky Linux, I saw that Podman containers were in there. I think you talked about that the last episode. I'm interested in looking into that.
Also, if you're running Debian 12, you may have something called DistroBox, which is a Podman pod / virtualization suit. Supposed to be a solution to distro hopping, where once you install Podman and DistroBox, the DistroBox allows you to run alternate pods of whatever system you want to run.
Again, I was looking to see if they had an Android client for it, but there's so many apps that are called Cockpit. So you could run Cockpit on one server, or you could put it on all your servers, and then, but you could have one server that's actually forwarded to a URL, so exposed to the internet, and then you could administer all your other servers through that one Cockpit interface, I guess, right? Since they're all connected. NetData is similar, but you can't really administer anything. You can just view statistics and things like that. But it all runs with like sister branches on all your other servers that you can view from one interface.
The network storage company 45 Drive makes modules that can be plugged into Cockpit. Some of the ones that they have is a file manager, a storage manager for both Samba and NFS shares, and a user manager. Again, I haven't kept up with their more recent offerings. I don't know what all they talk about. That's part of their Houston project. Again, I don't know much of the details.
I guess you could always use the web just the web browser on your smartphone. You wouldn't need an app.
It's definitely that. That's what largely a lot of the Cockpit and other similar systems are using your web browser as a secure graphical terminal.
Have you messed any more with Podman, Mordency? You brought it up.
I got a new NMVE drive and have that HP Mini running with Rocky Linux and Podman installed, as well as my instances in the cloud. I'm still really trying to figure out how to get a correct flow working with reverse proxying and like how to do my whole continuous deployment where I can set it up so I can destroy something and have it run automatically, pull settings or whatever from Git and all that. Still learning. I don't have anything that I feel is impressive accomplished yet.
I also ran across a kind of strange distro called Peppermint OS. It's an XFCE Debian 12 distro, but some of the choices are a little weird and sometimes buggy. The only office things that it's got is a calendar and a world clock. And when you run the world clock, you can have your local time. But any other clock that you try to create is called new. And trying to rename the clock just doesn't work. Also, the browser that they include is something called Debian Sensible Browser. This is a browser that's navigated with the Vim keys, and many of the reviewers can't even detect it as a browser because it isn't one of the big names, and it doesn't behave like any of the more user-oriented browsers. It does basically this. The best thing that can be said about it is it displays some of the documentation for Peppermint, but it's not what anyone who's sober would call a browser.
But since it's based on Debian, can't you just download another browser, whatever's in like the Debian repos?
I use Peppermint. I tried it out at least 10 years ago.
Well, I understand that prior versions have been more coherent.
Lovecraft, did you see Tony's message?
I did, yeah. We were exchanging a couple of emails, and I don't think Tony got back to me on that. It sounds like he was taking his PC to a PC shop, so I just wanted to make sure he got all squared away and wasn't having any more problems.
He says, and then he has a bunch of commas. Is that some kind of code between you guys? Or?
Actually, I think I sent him a direct message, and I think he replied in the channel. no code there.
Okay. So, you have all your stuff working now, Honky? Internet's working correctly. Show notes are up.
Yeah, show notes are up. Everything's working for the moment, for the most part.
What about projects?
Me? The most I've done recently is fix my washing machine. That's
all right. Do we want to talk about the movie?
Tony.
Ding, 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 ding.
We see you're just copy and pasting your home folder into the Mumble. I think you're in the wrong chat.
Ding.
So anyway, So we watched this movie called Laser. Everybody seen Laser Blast? I don't want to spoil this badass movie for you if you haven't seen it yet. Warren's just shaking his head. If you don't know who Charles Band is, he's kind of infamous in the B and cult movie scene, and he started out making his own indie movies in the 70s, I believe under maybe Empire Pictures or something like that. Today his company is called Full Moon Pictures, but his movies, if you thought this was bad, you should see his recent movies. They're just unwatchable. But at least this one was fun. And I'll give you a brief overview. It just starts out with a guy in the desert who's green. Looks like he has some kind of disease. And he's fighting these cool, like a stop-motion alien that look kind of cross between dinosaurs and men, I guess, and they're shooting at each other, and he has this arm cannon that he's shooting with, and they ended up killing him or disintegrating him, and his arm cannon is, along with this neck pendant, is left on the ground, and that's the very beginning of the movie, and it centers around this kid. Well, he's like 30 years old, but he's supposed to be a kid in the movie. And he's basically the loser of the town. It's a real small town in desert California. Go ahead, Joe.
I just want to say that this is a pretty average guy that was just having a really, really horrible day to begin with.
Yeah, he's not, I mean, he's a handsome kid, and you think in any other movie he would be probably like a jock or something like this, but in this movie he's like the weirdo outcast loser kid. Everybody picks on him. I think his mom took off on vacation and didn't even tell him that she was going, and he like catches her packing stuff into her car outside the house, and he didn't even know she was leaving to like Acapulco or something like that. And you know, it shows him getting picked on by these bullies, and I think he gets pulled over and gets tickets, speeding ticket. Anyway,
your mom like, can pay it.
Yeah, and he goes to see his girlfriend, and she's got, is it her uncle or some crazy old man living there?
Grandpa. Granddad.
And he's like mumbling and yelling about all these conspiracy theories and stuff. Yeah, you would recognize him if you see him. Let me see. IMDb says his name is Keenan Wynn. He's a famous character actor. He's been in a lot of stuff, but he kind of runs him off before he can see his girlfriend, and so he's kind of bummed out, and he goes in the desert and just kind of walking around and stumbles across this hand cannon that was dropped by the green man earlier. And he starts playing around with it, making these pew-pew noises, shooting at nothing, you know. And then he finds a pendant, and apparently the pendant is needed to activate this alien technology. And once he figures that out, puts the pendant on, then he's like blasting shit everywhere. It's just shooting lasers and all these cool explosions, and he can't believe his luck. He found this weird alien weapon, so... In his mind, he's like, now I'm powerful, and he can get back at the people that have wronged him. He goes to a party, and he like blows up the car of the bully that was picking on him.
Hold on.
I don't think he did. I don't think he was conscious for that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I think it was, the gun, the pendant or whatever, basically starts kind of taking over, and it's starting to change him, but he doesn't realize that it's doing it. And you can tell
that. He does not remember it.
Right.
Yeah. He starts turning different green.
When he was
like
with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Him and his girlfriend.
Yeah. There's a part where he's with his girlfriend, and he has this weird metal thing growing in his chest from where the pendant was sitting, and she notices it, and he gets aggressive with her and stuff, and scares her.
I think she finds the pendant, and the pendant gets close to him.
That's later.
The pendant gets
that's
close
later.
To him. Right, that's what I'm saying, but that shows that he doesn't know what's going on, because that happens, and he freaks out on her,
right.
And...
Okay.
Then, like, she moved, the pendant goes away, and doesn't he kind of realize, hey, that I didn't mean to do that, or...
No, not there. We're not at that part yet. We're at the party. So, at the party, when they're getting ready to leave, the two guys, the two bullies, one of them's a very nerdy guy, the other one's kind of a jock car guy, decide to try and grab this guy's girlfriend and do things to her on a couch, and he comes in there and bites them, and then they end up beating him up by sucker punching him. And then basically it cuts away after those two have left, the main character and the girlfriend, and then you see the two bullies talking to each other, and then up on a hill the main character shows up looking like a mutant and with the gun in his hand, and blows up this guy's car, his pride and joy.
So it kind of goes on like this. He goes and gets checked out by the doctor. The doctor says, that's weird. I've never seen that thing in your chest before, that big metal object. I'm just going to cut it out, even though I don't know what the hell it is, and send it off to a lab or whatever. And Billy ends up blowing up the doctor's car while he's in it too, and killing him. And it goes on like this. I don't want to go over every little minutia, but we can get into the details later. I just want to get through the synopsis. And eventually he just kind of goes crazy and starts shooting everything in town and blows up a plane and all this other stuff.
At one point, the aliens realize that they left the weapon behind.
Yeah, so they need to come back. And I don't know why they didn't get it in the first place. I mean, they know they were being shot at by it, so...
It was because of the airplane.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's right. That's right, yeah. Airplane kind of scares them off. So, anyway, so, like, by the end of the movie, Billy is almost completely changed now. He's totally green and got this weird makeup on. And the alien weapon has taken him over. And the aliens have come back and they're looking for the weapon. And
somehow Billy's they grew like two stories taller.
Yeah, it's a little different scale now, and Billy, he steals this van and kills this hippie driving this van, and goes around the town and is just shooting shit everywhere, and all of a sudden, these aliens, you know, his girlfriend is there, and who's the guy that's with his girlfriend? Was he the army or who was it?
He's some investigator. They never really explained all that much.
Okay, so
they were chasing him the whole movie.
Yeah, so her and the investigator find him, and the aliens kind of show up at the same time, and they shoot at Billy, and you think he's dead. But he's really not, because the laser cannon and the pendant are, I don't know if they've been given back to the aliens or just destroyed or whatever, but Billy is killed, right? Doesn't he?
Yes, he dies.
Yeah, at the end, and his girlfriend is kind of like crying and stuff, so that's the whole movie, basically, but there's a lot of really cool little details that we hadn't covered that I think should be pointed out. Yeah, some of my favorite parts are definitely the stop motion animation aliens. I thought those were really cool. like unironically, I thought they were cool. They don't have a lot of money to work with here, and apparently this came out in theaters too.
Which is weird. They destroyed a Star Wars sign.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that sign. When was this? This was made in 1978, and Star Wars came out in 1977. Is that right?
I think it came out maybe the same year.
Oh, same year. Okay.
Yeah.
And so this is them, I guess the director showing what he thinks is the superior movie, being Laser Blast, because they blow up this Star Wars sign. You know, I've seen that GIF all over the internet before, and I never knew it came from this movie. It's kind of cool. But I thought the aliens were cool. I thought... The makeup was okay, I guess. It wasn't very convincing that he had turned to an alien. The little surgery scene was kind of cool, where they dug the metal bit out of him, but like Joe said, I don't think this guy didn't really strike me as like a nerd weirdo loser. Like he was too kind of like handsome and cool.
And he had a really good looking girlfriend.
Yeah, right? And his girlfriend was hot too. But she even mentions something about. How did she get with this weird guy or something, but she wouldn't change it and stuff like that. But and it was a funny scene at the party too. There's a pool party they go to where this is a thing in older movies, and it's not exactly politically correct, but they have always an overweight boy or girl who's like eating all the food at the party, and this happened to be this girl's birthday, and she's eating all the cake at the table, and she wasn't even like today by today's standards she would be just normal.
No, she was not overweight.
No, but compared to all the stick figures around the pool, you know, she was like the fatty, and she had to eat all the birthday cake, and
because nobody else wanted any cake.
Yeah, and this is in all those older movies. They always have maybe a very slightly overweight person that's considered like baddie of the movie or something, when there's really nothing at all.
One thing this movie was missing that you almost always see in late 70s, 80s movies was gratuitous nudity. Closest you got was side boob in that scene.
At the pool, right?
At the pool.
Yeah, this could have been... What was this rated? Was it rated PG?
I don't know. There was a lot of people getting blown up for it to be PG.
There wasn't really any crazy gore, though, you know.
Maybe. Let's see. Yeah, we got the link right here.
IMDb says it's PG.
There you go.
Well, oh, was it? Okay. That makes sense. There's a little bit of side boob, and that was it. Not really much cursing or anything.
And there was implied sex, but that was it.
Right.
And it did. This movie did kind of have a weird tone where it was like, Is this a comedy or a serious sci-fi or an action movie or what?
I like Eddie Deason in it. I like Eddie Deason was like the quintessential nerd before Screech.
Yeah, he was one of the bullies, right?
Yeah.
But he was supposed to be a cool guy in this movie, I guess. Which is weird.
Like the fat cop and the little nerdy cop.
They got blown up, too.
Yeah, they got blown up, too.
Yeah.
But they were supposed to be like the comic relief or whatever. They were good.
Kind of a strange tone overall. You know?
Yeah. That I also liked that whole scene with him in the van with the hippie. The hippie's describing some trip that he had and just rambling on and on and on. And then the whole the cannon thing, the arm cannon takes over, and he's looking at him in that like weird zombie look. And he's like, oh, man, and then just shoots him right out the side of the van.
That was where the movie kind of went off the rails a little bit, because like everything else up to that point. Everything else. The
big old ET looking things that come out and shoot this guy who was right off the bat.
After the aliens, you know, everything else kind of built up there, and he was only blowing stuff up and killing people for either an intent or a purpose. And then all of a sudden it's just let's kill this hippie. He gave me a ride. He's driving me down the road. I'm just gonna shoot him right out that driver's seat.
He wanted the car. That was his intent or purpose.
Yeah, but where did he need to go? He was riding around randomly around the city and just blowing shit up. You know, why? What was the point of that?
And you gotta love the laser cannon or that was on his arm. It was basically this giant PVC pipe that he slid his arm into, and then he'd walk around like something out of Planet of the Apes with his arm like this, wilding around. And like when the best was when the plane was going by, because the plane would go by and he'd like shake his arm at it, and then he'd shoot at it, and then he'd duck and hide, and then he'd sit there and wave his arm around
like he was King Kong.
In the beginning when he thought it was a gun.
Oh yeah.
And he didn't know how to use it, and he's like looking down both ends of the thing and playing around trying to squeeze stuff on it with both ends pointed towards his face at one point. I mean, okay. That would have ended the movie pretty quickly.
I don't remember. Now, did the gun that the alien shot, was it the same kind of gun that Billy was wearing on his arm?
No.
It was different.
They were two stories tall when they were shooting stuff at the end.
Right. Yeah. So maybe that this was... I don't understand what this... Why... So the kid in the beginning, I guess, was an Earthling or was an alien. I don't know.
They didn't explain at all. I mean, the aliens talked, but they didn't talk in any language that we could understand.
Right.
And the mutant never talked.
Mm-hmm. So it could have. I don't know, man. It's just a weird premise that this weapon ended up on Earth. How did it end up there in the first place, you know, or did they just lose it?
It's a ridiculous B-movie. It's a ridiculous 70s B-movie. That's what it is.
Yeah, but it is fun.
It makes absolutely no sense, but it was, I think it was fun. I enjoyed it.
I watched Birdemic, and I like Birdemic, and take that for what it is when I say that this was the most pointless movie that I have ever watched in my life.
Oh, come on. This is definitely above Birdemic.
Now, Birdemic was a worse movie, but it was less pointless than this movie.
It was just corny. This movie was corny, but it was fun. It was sci-fi. It was low budget. But it wasn't, I mean, at least the effects were like, there was some money there, you know, as far as the stop motion and the actual lasers themselves. There's no CGI, of course, but what they managed to do with whatever little money they
had. With the $50?
Which was still better than Birdemic.
And, I mean, look at the budget that...
The cinematography was better than Birdemic. And that's saying a lot, considering one of them was made in 1978.
Listen,
Gunhead, look at the budget that went into that. And that you're saying that made more sense than this? That's crazy.
No, I'm not.
Gunhead had a great scenery.
They're about on par with the nonsensicalness of Gunhead.
Gunhead had some of the best scenery out of those type of movies. The background and the scenery was really good. Yeah. But the rest of the movie was for complete and utter garbage.
Yeah. And it used stop motion, too.
What was that one softcore porn that we watched?
Robotrix.
Robotrix, yes.
Robotrix was better than this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say so. But yeah, I didn't think this movie was bad. I mean, I mean bad as in, yeah, low budget, independent movie, but it was fun to watch, at least.
It was a fun, stupid B sci-fi movie.
Yeah, and I recommend it.
Look, like I said, after I got done watching it, I had to go and watch Commando to rinse the taste out of my brain.
And there's also a riff track to this, right, Honky, yes. Didn't you say?
Yeah, there's actually a MST3K, I think.
Yeah, so if you want to watch that, you can watch that. So you got several options.
And by the way, I still highly recommend the Riff Tracks version of Birdemic. It makes Birdemic palatable. It makes it actually good.
That's saying a lot.
It really is.
I'm not going to argue with that. That's saying a lot if it made it palatable.
I'm not watching that by myself.
For the longest time, Mitchell was my favorite of the MST3K type things. And then I saw the Riff Track version of Birdemic. Now it's my favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
So who gives a thumbs up and who gives a thumbs down? I give thumbs up. Two thumbs down, two thumbs up. You're the tiebreaker, Lovecraft.
You know what? I just approached this as a comedy after the first few minutes, and I liked it. It was fun. The one thing, if you guys look at the movie poster on IMDb, did anyone else think zombie Gary Busey, or was that just me?
No, yeah. You have a point.
It no, I can see that.
Gary Busey or good God, what is it from Star Wars?
Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill, yeah.
Yeah, I can kind of see. The poster is actually awesome, I think. The hand-painted poster.
Yeah, I would love to have that. The poster. I was, but I was like, wow, that looks like just a quick glance. I'm like, Gary Busey, like younger, half zombie. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. But it doesn't look like he looks like in the movie. It's something different. And I definitely didn't see a cool flaming skeleton in the movie either.
Yeah, but that's the effect of what happens after he shoots them with the laser, yeah. The laser blast.
Yeah, the makeup was really bad.
Oh, they have a collector's edition Blue House as well. Blu-ray as well. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I would definitely buy this poster. That is super cool. I really miss hand-painted posters like that, movie posters. So A for effort for that. So 3 stars then. Me, Honky, and Lovecraft.
Yep.
Two big thumbs down from Joe and Mortensen. That's too bad.
I'm just enjoying watching this ad again. It's such a great movie. And again, let me specify, it's such a great movie and how stupid it is.
Yeah. I think I have a lot of nostalgia for this movie, even though I never saw it as a kid. It's just one of those kinds of movies that has that effect on me. So the next movie. I don't have a script or anything here.
Now, how long has it been? The script's been gone for how long?
I know, and I could just write it right now if I wanted to.
What have you been doing with your time? Oh, I put Lebby together.
Yeah,
but I can't write a script that I wrote so many years ago.
Let me do this. I'm going to go to a random number generator. And how many movies are there? Let's see. There's a lot on here. I'll just do 1 through 100, and whatever's closest is going to be the movie. 45. Is there 45 movies in here? I think so. English Cucumber. Who wrote that?
What?
It says English Cucumber on here. The bottom. Do you see that, or is that something on my screen?
I had to pull
that is something on your screen, because I'm at the bottom and I do not see English Cucumber. Last one I see is Titan AE.
Is that your shopping English list? Cucumber.
No.
You sure?
Yeah. I've never written that those two words together in my life.
No.
There's 80 movies on here. 45 is Adam Project. We've done that. 46 is Cyborg. 47 is Cherry. Dark City would be the next closest from 1998.
Nice. Very nice.
Which one? Dark City?
Yeah. Dark City.
Good movie.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
I don't know if I've ever seen that one.
No?
That's... Oh, you're right. Oh. Go ahead.
I saw it in theaters.
That's not the one with Hellboy on there, is it? What's his name?
Ron Perlman.
Nah, he's not in this.
Okay. What was that one that he was in? Some kind of city or City of Lost Children? Is that a movie?
Yes, that's it.
Okay. Ooh, what is Coron? I'm watching X-Files and this guy's like vomiting everywhere. Disgusting.
That's the senior the last movie.
So, it's not playing for free anywhere, so I'll put a link to it in the Element chat. So, Funky, did you say you've been working on stuff or no? Or
no.
What about you, Joe?
Not really. I mean, had a rough 2 weeks.
Yeah, it sounds like it. You've been working on just surviving.
Pretty much. I mean, I ended up... I already showed you the Game Boy case that I got, and that was a birthday present. So I also... Jackie found me a Bowflex Extreme.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for free.
Really?
Anything wrong with it? Yeah, they're like a $1,200 device. No, actually, it's in perfect condition. It doesn't come with a leg extension attachment, but that's perfectly fine. But from what I understand, a lot of the complaints is it doesn't get enough tension. But because of how it is set up, I'm not too worried about that, because the pulleys, I can hook to the pulleys that I already have set up and add all the weight that I want.
I got a friend that bought a long time ago, but it was like $2,000, something like that.
Yeah, it's a very expensive device. Like I said, even if it doesn't get heavy enough, I can make it heavy enough.
Yeah, he financed it, and I think he used it like two or three times, and that was it. Became a coat rack after that.
Yeah.
So.
But cool. it's been so Have hot, you used I haven't it? Even wanted to... No, I had to rearrange a whole bunch of my garage in order to be able to fit it. I've got a little bit left to do, and then I'll be able to slide it right in and be able to use it where I want to.
Yeah, you'll have to give us a review of what you think about it to use it. Well, I've never used one. I've always, you know, at night you always see the
ads.
The infomercials for the Bowflex. And...
Is that with Chuck Norris?
No, that's the, no. I used to have the, Total Gym. Okay. I used to have that one, and I sold it. I liked it, but I didn't have a lot of room for it. Even though you could fold it down, it was a pain in the ass to fold up and then fold back out. And I could slide it under my bed, but every time I wanted to work out, I had to unfold this big contraption and put these cables back and all this stuff. So I ended up selling it and just got a gym membership.
The Total Gym really just reminds me of a like modified, easier to use row machine.
Basically, that's what it is. I mean, they have different, like, you can't, there's things you can't do on there, which I didn't like. Like, they have, like, supposedly you can do an approximation of squats, but you're not really doing a squat. And same with deadlifts, you know, and like bench press, you know, you're pushing the cables out, and as you push them out, your body lifts up on the platform, you know, using your body weight. And it was just, I mean, I bought one for my dad, and he uses it like almost every day. He loves it, but he's not really into working out. He just wants to stay limber and active, and it works good for him. But my gym membership is so cheap that it didn't, you know, it was no big deal. Plus, it's right real close to me, so.
finding time to go to the gym now that I have to go back to the office kind of sucks. So, and I don't want to pay for a gym membership right now, and I got the Bowflex for free, so, you know, even if it doesn't work out for me and I end up passing it along, I haven't really lost anything.
Also, with me at least, I find it hard, in my own case, I find it hard to stay motivated to work out at home because I'm always distracted by shit that's going on, TV and, you know, cat and stuff like that. And well, at the gym, see, like, you probably have a different mindset because you've been working out at home for a long time. Me, I just, when I'm at the gym, that's the only thing I'm there to do is to work out. And so I, you know, I'm motivated to do that. It just works out better for me.
I will say that if I go to the gym, the workout is much more intense and doesn't not take as long. So there are benefits to going to the gym. But in a lot of cases, I'll just turn something on the TV and I'll crank out some reps and then I'll crank out some more reps and I'll take a break and then I'll crank out more and it'll be like an all-day affair instead of, you know, a two-hour affair.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of like I would look for, okay, this let me watch YouTube real quick and pick the right song I want to play or the right video, and then all that's over, well, let me stop what I'm doing and pick another one. And when I'm at the gym, it's just time to work and get it over with. So anyway, what about this new phone case you got? What is it called?
I'm not even sure. I mean, I got it for the birthday, and it doesn't have any, like, name markings on it or anything. Just look for Game Boy case and then your phone model. I mean, this one fits on the Note 10 Plus.
So does that have its own screen, or is it using your phone? Oh, no, okay.
Like, there's my phone screen, and then there's the screen for the device. And
that's cool.
The lines you're seeing on it is just the plastic cover that I left on it. I guess you're not supposed to leave that on there, but I don't want the screen all scratched up, so I'm going to have to order some cut-it-yourself screen protector.
So does it play games from your phone's memory?
No, it has it's all self-contained. Like, I could take it off the phone, and it would work just fine. It has its own battery and everything.
So cool.
It's got its own charging port, which is like micro USB, while the phone's charging port is, you know, USB-C. So that's a little odd. So I need an extra cable, but it works. And it's got some not so great games on it, but then again, it's got the original Tetris, and it's got the original NES version of Super Mario Brothers, and then it has the, like, original Mario Bros. On it. Like, the arcade version where you're just getting rid of turtles and stuff.
So, you're just jumping across the level. And not only that, but you get the tactile feel of the actual real buttons, too. So I always like that.
And it's got Galaga. Can't argue with Galaga.
So how are the controls? Pretty good.
They're responsive enough. They're the little mushy, but you know, for what it is, you really can't complain.
And can you add games to it?
Not that I have found so far.
You'll find a way, I bet.
Maybe, but I bet you're really limited on the emulators. So staying with like NES, I think the only other thing I might put on there would be Punch Out. Maybe Double Dragon. It's got all the Contra games on it.
That's cool.
The NES Contra games, yeah, they're on there. Yeah, what else I can find on there? Because not all the games are, you know, like, named, right? So, yeah, there's all the Super Contra, which has, like, four different Contra games. You got Super Mario Brothers, Tetris, which is called Tetrisa. Then Boom Man, I'm not sure what that is. Galaga, Excite Bike, which is a good game. Donkey Kong, which is awesome. Balloon Fight, I don't know what the hell that is. Spartan X, Arkanoid, I don't know. And then Five Chess, Mahjong. It's not the version of Mahjong that I'm used to. It's got a pinball game, Ice Climber, Pac-Man, which is the original Pac-Man. Puyon, Soccer, Load Runner, which I'm not familiar with. Battle City, which looks like a battle tank game, the original Mario Brothers game, a tennis game, F1 Race, Nuts Milk, Chinese Chess, a Road Fighter, Olympic, 1942, which was, if I remember right, like a flying river thing, which was pretty fun. Yeah,
I remember that game.
Badminton, Urban Champion, Mappy, Sky Destroyer, Macross, Star Force, Bomb Jack, and Penguin Coon Wars.
Never heard of that one.
Me either.
Okay, let's see. The movie is now in the Matrix chat. Well, speaking of games, we can get to this real quick. Joe, I know this is one of your fortes.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. The PSP Pi.
Yeah. Now, I thought this was, because it says PSP receives Raspberry Pi upgrade. So I thought they were keeping the PSP and then using a Raspberry Pi in conjunction with it. But it looks like they're only using the case, right?
And probably, I don't know if they're using the same screen or not, but you have to buy the PCB and hook that up and then hook the Pi Zero into the PCB and then run like probably RetroArch or something.
It says it replaces the internal electronics, so it's a Zero or a compute module. You can install RetroPi. Let's see. Yeah, custom PCB. What does it say anything about the screen?
This one doesn't.
It's got a YouTube link too.
Video for it.
PCB contains all the hardware necessary to support the PSP's controls too. It has its own microcontroller, I guess. Supports LCD backlit adjustment and speaker output. I didn't say if it's using the actual LCD or not.
There's a GitHub.
Now, would you do something like this? You've got like a million PSPs, right?
Yeah. It depends on how much the PCB costs. Usually they're not cheap.
Completing the build isn't for the faint of heart.
Wouldn't it be... Joe, don't you just put an emulator on your PSPs anyways?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that just be so much easier than having to do all this?
Yes.
Yeah, what could this do that an emulator couldn't do?
Not much.
And does this have a... Is it using the battery?
Wait. It can do some things that an emulator couldn't. It can run Linux. Raspberry Pi OS.
True.
You don't have a keyboard.
But if it has the Zero W... It would have Bluetooth.
That's true.
I was looking for the GitHub schematics code. There it is. Okay.
But I'm still wondering where you can pick up board. I don't want to log into Easy ADA to find out about the board.
Easy ADA. So he made the, it looks like he made the board into the same shape, the PSP board. Got schematics. Mean nothing to me. Regardless, unlike me, I just think it looks cool.
$114.95.
Wow. And that doesn't include the Pi that you have to buy as well, right?
Or the PSP.
No, I think that's just the board.
Yeah.
Okay, and it does say that you need a specific screen.
So you
also have
to
buy
too.
The screen. So here, let me send you this link.
Put it here. Put it in the show notes.
So yeah, you're looking at like $250 to do this project.
I guess if you're a tinkerer and a gamer,
you got money to blow. Buy,
yeah, there you go. Something cool to play with.
You're gonna get almost as much. Oh, and this is out of stock, by the way. You're gonna get almost the same usage just with PSP. Running, cracked firmware. But if you have like a really, really broken PSP, I guess this would be good for that. But might as well just also order a casing at this point.
Speaking of games, did I put one in the element or the Matrix chat called Santris. Have y'all tried this yet? Santris. Put it in the show notes. It's a mod of Tetris, and the blocks flow like sand. There. And I wasn't able to play it on my phone, but you can play it on your laptop. It's interesting. It just kind of turned to sand whenever the...
How do you rotate them?
Up, and you'll soon discover it gets kind of tough. And there's
What's
another
the point here.
It's the same thing like Tetris,
except everything like folds in on itself. So
yeah. But look, when you start to stack them, you can see they start forming actual. If you get enough sand going, they form an actual block, and then. They will disappear like regular Tetris.
I don't know. I got a pretty high stack here and nothing's disappearing.
That was the idea. And there's another, there's another Tetris game too, where you start from the bottom. I thought I put that in the, Matrix as well.
Oh, you have to connect the same color all the way across the screen.
Yeah. Is it from below? Maybe it is. No, that's not it. Well, I can't find it. I think I put it in the Matrix chat, but it's full of weird game symbols now, and I can't find anything in there.
Not seem all that surprising.
I don't remember what it's called. But it's interesting because you start with a screen full of blocks and then you make them disappear from the bottom. Jeez. Put in Honky to sleep.
Yep, he's passing out.
Yeah, it's just been a long day.
Anyway.
Aren't they all?
Man, fair enough.
Tetris clone, start from the bottom. I don't know. I just found it recently. Well, shoot. I'll find it and add it later. I don't remember it. Old man. I want to talk about something I recently started using called Image. I-M-M-I-C-H. It's a kind of like a photo app. I'll put it in. It's also self-hosted, and you can use up to back up all your photos on your phone or your computer automatically, kind of like how Nextcloud does. Except this interface reminds me of Google Photos, and it has a machine learning as well. So it recognizes faces, and you can tag faces and image show notes. I'm gonna go to my image instance, log in here, and I'm gonna share an album with you guys so you can see kind of how it looks. The only thing about it is because of the machine learning, it tends to use a lot of RAM, and I gave it 4 cores as well for processing, but it's just a Docker install. Maybe I can share an album, a whole album with you guys. Okay, yeah, this will be good to share. Here's a little album of this grow light I created, I built for my fish tank. Put it in the Matrix chat. Okay. And you can click on that link. Kind of look at the interface. And it also does videos, and it's very quick, and it's better at organizing photos and stuff like that than NextCloud is. I use NextCloud mainly as a photo archiver, not really to share stuff with people. And this is made just for photos and videos and sharing and things like that. And I just put it in the matrix. What I like about it is the machine learning part, as far as like recognizing faces, and once you name a face, it finds it in all the pictures, and you can, click on that face, and it'll find all the pictures with that face in them, and the name, and all that stuff, and it has object detection as well, but it's all running locally on your own server, so it doesn't not having to pull in from any other server to do the machine learning, which is why it's kind of resource hungry. But IMMICH, and it's still fairly new, but I'm constantly getting notifications that there's a new server available, so I'll drop the Docker containers and pull down the new one and bring it back up, and it's got all the new, and it keeps all your photos in a separate volume, so every time you update, everything's still saved. But the Android app is really slick. It's nice, and you can set it to auto-upload whatever photos you take on your phone to your image server, and I like it so far. It's really quick. I recommend it. If you're looking for a good image and or photo and video self-hostable application, check out Image. I don't remember where I heard about it from. But features: upload and view videos and photos, auto backup when the app is opened, selective albums for backup, download photos and videos to local device, multi-user support. Oh yeah, so other people, you can create accounts for other people if they want to use it, and it'll be separate from your own account. Album and shared albums, scrubbable, draggable, scroll bar, support RAW formats, search by metadata, objects, faces, background backup, API keys, live photo backup and playback. So if you have a Samsung or an iPhone that takes live photos, it supports that. It also has metadata support, so it has a map within the app, shows you where photos were taken and stuff, a global map. Does it this memory still, kind of like Facebook memories. Anyway, it's really cool. My review. Image.
It's really cool.
Really cool. It's a thumbs up. What about you, Lovecraft? Any projects? Or?
I managed to catch up with that guy who was going to give me that that Surface tablet. It turns out it's not a 6, it's a 4. But you know, it was free, so no complaints. I actually just threw Ubuntu on it earlier today, and looks like I got some more work to do to try and get the touchscreen and all that working, if that's even possible. So
be doing a little research. Kernel.
Yeah.
But there, you have to go and find the kernel for the 4 and load that on there.
All right, I'll peek around. I found a subreddit called Surface Linux and was doing some digging in there, but I just started on all that, so be a project.
Now, is that x86 or is it ARM or?
It's a Intel. I think it's an i3 or i5 processor. So yeah, x86. Okay. Yeah.
Cool. The one I got is ARM, and I can't do shit with it. The very first one they made.
The RT or one of those?
Yeah, Surface RT.
Yeah, they're garbage.
Mm-hmm. It has a beautiful screen. Yeah, basically useless running Linux. Probably useless for running Windows, too.
I was looking at those. Do you guys know if any of them are just perfectly compatible?
The Surfaces, so most of them... You can run Linux on. I don't know about them getting kernel updates because it is a custom kernel, but when it comes to the RT, none of them. And the thing is even running Windows, they require only applications to be installed from the Windows Store, unless you run a crack on them every time you turn it on. And yeah, they're not worth it, RTs.
Now, I can run Linux on the RT, but it's not persistent. I have to run it from, I have to boot it from a USB drive, and it does some kind of, it takes advantage of some kind of exploit, and then it, you can run Linux from the USB drive, but as soon as you turn it off or unplug the USB drive, that's it. No more Linux.
Does a touchscreen and everything work?
No, touchscreen doesn't work either. Only the keyboard. You have to have a keyboard, Bluetooth keyboard. So it's pointless.
Is Joe only talking about the RT or just all of the Surface?
No, just the RT is useless. The Surfaces, almost all of them have a custom kernel that you can run that will make them work, and some of them actually work well. But I don't know about getting updates for that custom kernel.
I really want a new system. Mine's locked up again. Maxing out the memory.
Dude, get one of the Latitude tablets. The Dell Latitude tablets. They just freaking work.
You were using one of those for a long time, weren't you?
Yeah, and my Jackie really needed a computer, so I gave her the last one that I had.
So now what are you using?
Usually, either I have booted up one of the Dell Venues again, and it's running pretty good. The Dell Venue 11 Pro. It's a lot slower than the Latitude, but I'm also running that 1GX.
Oh, that's right. That little mini computer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Still love that thing.
Have you built any more cases for it?
No. I'm still using the last docking station that I put together for it after I found out that it was a power supply problem. So I haven't had to rebuild it since. Kind of want to put a second M.2 in it because it's got the slot for it. I think it's a 2230 or a 2240. I think it's a 2242. So I can try that.
Oh, one thing I've done. Another project is that I wanted to start playing video games on my little gaming PC, so I installed Pop! OS, since it supposedly plays nice with NVIDIA GPUs. They have an actual NVIDIA version of the ISO you can install, and so I installed that, and installed Steam, and put Steam Link on my phone, and I was able to... There's some little weird snafus every once in a while, but for the most part, it's playable on my phone over Steam Link. And then I was using that Razer Kishi with my phone to play games. And it does something weird where it reads the right shoulder button is always down, and I don't know why. But if I press the left shoulder button, then the right shoulder button stops being read as down. But when I press it again, it'll be read as down. I have to press the left shoulder button again. And I don't know if I don't...
The Kishi is USB, right? USB-C?
Yeah, USB-C. And I don't know if that's an actual hardware problem or if it's... software or what, driver, I don't know. But I was able to play a little bit with it. And some games don't detect the... Even though it says they're playable with the controller, they don't really detect the controller. Some games do. But I filtered my games by Linux and just quite a few missing, so... I guess...
Are you running Proton?
Well, that's the thing. So I have Steam installed. Does that automatically install Proton?
No, you have to go in and manually turn on Proton.
And do I do that through the Steam interface or what?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe that's what I need to do then.
Let me bring it up and I can tell you how. I haven't run Steam on this machine in a while, so it's going to have to do the update and everything.
So I'll mess with that some more. And,
should really open up your games for you, running Proton like that.
Yeah. Instead of just filtering by Linux. One thing I did do looking at this laptop now, I forgot what I was going to say. Did do something, but I don't know what it was. I have to think about what I was going to say. What's wrong with this? Oh, I know what I was going to say now. Since I installed a Steam link on my phone, I wanted to play it from outside my network. So I installed WireGuard on PopOS, on the PopOS computer that I installed Steam on, and then I installed WireGuard on my phone, and it actually works pretty good. The Steam link works away from home, and that's my first time messing with WireGuard, and... I was using OpenVPN to connect to my home network, and it worked, but it was really slow and laggy, and WireGuard was a lot faster.
Yep. Okay, I can walk you through this here if you want.
Yeah, give me one second here. Get to my computer. Okay, turned off the screen. So there's no more Stable Diffusion server, because now it is my gaming computer. Trying to exit Big Picture somehow. Exit Big Picture. Okay, so I'm in the Steam interface.
Okay, go to Steam in the top left.
Yep.
Go to Settings.
Oh, it's grayed out. Hang on, I'm in Family View. Okay, Steam settings.
Compatibility.
Right. Yep.
And then turn on enable Steam Play for supported files and enable Steam Play for all other titles. And then run other titles with Proton Experimental.
Okay, now it says restart.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, it stayed. So experimental is what you want?
Right. Well, you can pick a specific Proton version, but it's just better to stay on experimental.
Okay, cool. That's good.
So now all your games should be playable.
Very nice.
I will say that sometimes Vulkan shaders take a really, really long time to load.
Really?
Yeah.
Little laptop doesn't want to charge. All right. Are you playing any games?
Batman Arkham Asylum Game of the Year Edition.
I was looking for a new Android game to play on the plane when I go on vacation.
Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, man, that's a heavy game. I was looking for something a little simpler. Something like Terraria, I like that game. And Stardew Valley, I like that game.
Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh. Something else, please.
Farmville.
Leisure Suit Larry.
One thing I did notice is there are so many cool-looking games in the Play Store, and then when I click on them, it's like...
Garbage.
Yeah, they're all free games, and then I look to see if... if, you know, maybe it's a demo version, but no, it's all you have to buy coins or buy some kind of in-game currency to get, to play the game. It's very depressing what the Play Store has become. Unless it's always been like that.
That's basically all the games, really. Yeah. But, if you wanted something that you could do is install an emulator and then, like, play old Sega games or old NES games.
Yeah, now, see, I have that. I have the PS2 emulator, and that actually works pretty good. So I may just do that, because...
I thought you were looking for simple games. That's why I was suggesting either the Sega games or the NES games.
Well, that's a good idea, too.
Or get a case that does it for you.
Yeah. Who got you that case?
My wife and my kids.
Well, I'll have to get a wife and kids so I can get a new phone case. You won't can't borrow yours for just one day until... And then I tell them, for my birthday.
Do you have a Note 10 Plus?
I have the S23.
Then this won't fit on your phone.
Oh, really? They don't make it for my phone?
This one won't fit on your phone, so you can't borrow this one.
No, I mean borrow your wife and kids for my birthday.
No, and they can't have them.
And then they can buy me that, and then I'll give them back.
No, because they'd use my money.
Well, that's the point. That's why I'm borrowing yours, not getting one of my own, family of my own. Then I have to spend money, and that's no good.
And you said yours was the S23 or the S23 Ultra?
S23. Now, have you guys ever heard of Linux Lite?
Yeah.
Is it good?
I haven't tried it.
I haven't tried it in over a decade.
I sent you a link.
I got it. I don't really know much about it. Oh, it's based on Ubuntu LTS. Okay. I thought it was its own thing. Or from the ground up. Guess not. I put a link to it in the Lemmy, but I was thinking it was like Nix OS, like it was its own core and all that stuff, but it's not. It says a familiar Windows-like desktop. Gateway operating system to Linux. So I guess it's supposed to look like Windows, which it doesn't really. Not to me, anyway. Has anybody ever used it? Netminer, have you ever used Linux Lite?
It's all right. I mean, Linux Lite, Linux Mint, they're a lot of them are about the same.
Don't tell Joe that.
Sorry.
Linux Lite, Linux Mint, they're all the same.
Okay.
I don't know if that's what he said.
A decent system is a decent system.
There's also... somebody wrote an article that said... It was directed to Joe... It says, using Discord is morally lazy. Now, do you agree with that?
I'm okay with that. It doesn't bother me.
What was there? I didn't even read this, so I don't know what the reasoning is. I just saw this link on some site, and I thought, well, let me put it in there since I got banned from Discord.
I'm sure that there was a really good reason for banning you from Discord.
Okay, here we go. It's a quick article. I'll read it real quick. It says, using Discord is morally lazy. Warning, unfinished article. Discord to me represents the worst of so-called late-stage capitalism meshed with the worst of our ever-bloated and unmaintainable modern computer landscape. It comforts people with the idea that using enormous amounts of computing resources free. It bases expectations on the ethical code of bloodthirsty hyper-capitalists. All right. I guess I know where this is going. Grow the platform, capture the users, or figure out how to make money later. Discord is a U.S. startup based in Silicon Valley. They have a downtown office, 500-plus employees, and a venture capital-based operating budget. They don't delete data. They don't have a reliable income scheme. So then how exactly does Discord work? They take money from investors. Blah, 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 blah. So this just says because it's This court is not a financially feasible company. I would argue that more so than any other piece of infrastructure used by people, this court has the highest potential to harm the world and our perception of our place within it.
What?
So it doesn't even say anything about privacy or advertising or anything. Just that it's not financially feasible and it takes money from investors. That's the reasoning. And that it uses too much computing resources. That could be anything. That really has nothing to do with just Discord.
Right.
But I put that in there. I'm sorry, Joe. I thought this would have some bite to it, but I was trying to pwn you. It didn't work.
Sure, yeah, you pwned me. I now feel bad.
Yeah, there you go. You have been punished by bloodthirsty capitalism. And you may now hang your head in shame.
Yep, every day.
Give a link for it, because...
Yeah, I just now put it in the show notes.
All right.
Let me see what else this guy talks about.
Oh,
what else is he on about?
Do we really want to know?
Well, let's see.
Oh, it's a great site, too. I mean, it looks like a manifesto. It looks like it was done on an old-fashioned typewriter.
It was written by Ted Kaczynski here.
And he's got the... It's supposed to be HTML. It's got H3 headers on each paragraph, but it's not actually rendering the H3.
No. No, yeah, I saw that. He has the tags there, but they're not doing anything.
Right.
Let's see. Here's another. That article was from 2021. Building a fixed gear bicycle, of course. Is there any doubt that this guy would write a fixie? My personal website is one binary. I don't know what that means. What else has he got here? I will never participate in weird internet cast systems. This has to do with Discord too. I was stumbling around Discord today. This is from June of 2023. After 2021, his manifesto
where he was talking about how horrible it was.
How Discord is morally lazy and hyper-capitalist. And now 2023, June 6th, I was stumbling around Discord today and had a pretty sudden and severe realization about Discord Nitro. Which I've never heard of. Discord Nitro is a paid subscription service that Discord offers to generate revenue. Nitro provides a few functional perks, larger upload sizes, better voice quality, etc., and a few aesthetic perks, animated avatars, cross-server emoji usage, and super reactions. This post is mostly about the aesthetic perks, the things that cost Discord exactly nothing and operate psychologically to make users desire Nitro. So now is he into Discord now that he uses it? His point seems to be that this is creating a caste system on Discord, those who have Nitro and those who do not. Caste systems must restrict sharing of particular resources to the underclass. They also tend to incorporate aesthetic privilege to highlight the privilege of the upper class. From the perspective of users who do not have Discord Nitro, Nitro users have aesthetics that the underclass are not capable of having. They have resources that the underclass does not have access to. Look, dude, just don't fucking use Discord. You've already cried about it, and now you're still using it, and now you're crying about it some more. Do like me and just get banned and don't understand why you got banned from there. And then you don't have to use it.
Oh, you know why you got banned.
I had no idea why I got banned
from there. Don't lie.
Just use Matrix, yep. Jackass. What the fuck? What an idiot.
Right? Or at least quit crying.
Right?
I don't want to read any more of this guy's stupid website. Making me mad. Joe, you use NewPipe, don't you? Yeah. Or something like that?
Yeah.
You smoking your pipe?
Here. Yeah, I smoking your pipe.
New pipe has been removed from Google search results due to DMCA takedown requests.
Weird.
That is weird. I don't use new pipe, but...
Well, I don't know. See how it would get DMCA takedown requests. I mean, all it is a front end for freaking YouTube.
Well, that's what I thought.
So remove ads and crap. But maybe that's why Google got rid of it, because it was getting rid of ads.
It says, update 13th of July. The DMCA notice was rescinded with no further comments. So I guess it's back up now. Our landing page appears to be listed in Google search results again. Dear New Pipe community and beloved creatures, you might have already noticed that searching New Pipe via Google will yield any information about the project, but a link to the official missing website is missing. This is because Google submitted to a DMCA takedown notice from a French record label, Because Music. The notice demands removing our homepage from their search listings along with a set of other domains completely unrelated to our project. Blah, blah, blah. While worse things can happen as a result of such a takedown request, Google's unlisting of our homepage creates a variety of problems. Given the fact that Google no longer counts visits to our site, it will lose relevance. As a result, websites for fake clones of NewPipe that mimic our homepage will tend to rank higher in the results. This could ultimately cause users to fall for such scams. So, apparently this has been rescinded now, and they're back in Google search. Let me search Google for NewPipe, see what happens. Yes, they're back there. Front page is the first. So NewPipe is like watching videos on YouTube, but you want an intuitive, feature-rich, and privacy-friendly app. So it blocks the ads? Is that what it does?
Yeah. It blocks the ads. And you can't log in. But all I did was make a couple of my playlists publicly available and then searched for them and added them, and that was it.
Can it handle subscriptions?
It does not really handle subscriptions that I've seen. Now, if a person that, you know, if a YouTuber makes videos and then they put them into a playlist, you can be, you can have the playlist attached in your new pipe, and then just go to the playlist, and it will automatically update.
Right. There's an article here about NixOS, which is a lot to get into. I've been watching YouTube videos about NixOS recently, and it's very not so much about NixOS, but about Nix, the tool, the package manager, because you can install it on any OS you want. But
in new pipe, you can put in subscriptions.
Oh, you can? Okay. I'll have to give it a try. I really like Clipius, which is the Android app for NVIDIA's. I've been using that to watch YouTube. Which, you know, I have a YouTube, whatever they're calling it now, Supreme Red, whatever account, that it's a holdover from my Google Play Music account, and they got rid of that, but I still kept a YouTube Premium service. So, I mean, I can watch YouTube without ads anyway, but they put so much other bullshit in there. Well, you may like this, or users that watch this video also watch these videos. I just hate seeing that shit, so I just go through NVIDIA's anyway, even though I don't have to. I don't have to see that crap. Really
just
trained.
Don't watch YouTube.
There's stuff on there I still enjoy. I don't want to see all that other stuff that has nothing to do with what I'm watching.
Do you want to go into the stuff about NixOS, or do you,
that's a long deal. I want to get to it when I have more time to like research it, because I'm still learning how the tool works. Nix is basically a package manager, but it's like a package manager on steroids, and it's really cool. And they have this whole concept of Nix Flakes, and which are like containers, but not containers. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but once I understand more of it, I'd like to do a review on Nix in the future. But it's right now I'd be just speaking ignorance. So I'm finally getting my head around it, though. Anything else in here you want to talk about?
Yeah, I put in one in there. The list of the the self-hostable games.
Where's that at?
I put the link in the show notes underneath the link for NixOS.
Oh, in the show notes. I was looking in the Lemmy.
Oh, it's in Lemmy, too, the same page.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. You posted it.
Remember it.
Linux Gamecast, self-hostable games we can talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did I say about it? Man, this is terrible. Self-hostable games. What was I thinking about? Oh, here it is. Okay. Yes. Now I remember. Okay. So this is a list on GitHub called, I think Reddit, the self-hosted Reddit created this GitHub page called Awesome Self-Hosted. But there's part of this called Self-Hosted Games. And let's see. Come on, go. Games. There we are. Okay. I was going to see if any of y'all have heard of these or if you play them and if you can recommend them. So these are games that you can host on your own server. And a few of them look pretty interesting. Mindustry, I think I've talked about that before on Linux Gamecast. And it's like a tower defense game. And it's on F-Droid as well.
Right.
But apparently you can host a Mindustry server on your, and it's free too on your own server. There's one called Zero AD about ancient warfare. There's some text adventures here, a dark room. Oh, this is one I wanted to talk about. Emu Linker SF, which is it's built from this application called Open Calera, and it's you basically play emulated games in your browser, and the server lives on your computer, but then you go to your web address and all the emulation is done at server side, and you can even plug in a controller to your computer and play emulated games from any browser, and that's called Emu Linker SF. Sounds client cool. Server system that any emulator can implement to enable net play over the internet as well, and you can play other people too. They can also log into your server and you can play two-player emulated games through the browser, and I thought that was pretty cool. I'm not sure what emulators it ports. I watched some YouTube videos, and they were playing like MAME games, like those old arcade games and stuff. I'm sure you can play like Super Nintendo and all the old systems. So that was the main one I wanted to talk about. Can host your own Minecraft server, of course. You can still do that, right, Hunky?
Yeah.
That you can host your own Minecraft server?
You'd host your own Minecraft server, download it, and it'll run on Ubuntu. Download the latest Bedrock version. It's free to host your own server, at least last I've tried.
And this is supported by Microsoft or whatever? It's not a hack or...
No. You have to pay to play, to use the client version, but the server you can download yourself and host. Mm. They have a Windows version and an Ubuntu version.
They have a game called Mine Test on here. It looks similar to Minecraft. It's a voxel game engine.
Yep.
They have one called Multi-Theft Auto. It adds network play functionality to Grand Theft Auto game series. In which this functionality is not originally found. So I guess like the Grand Theft Auto 3 and stuff like that. Quake.js, JavaScript version of Quake. Let's see. Ready Clips 2, which is a FOSS arena first-person shooter similar to Unreal Tournament. But Battle for Westnoth. Open source turn-based tactical strategy game. Oh, they have an open source Wordle game.
Yeah. There's a Word Mastermind and Wordle.
Play against other people. We ought to set up a little Wordle server.
We really should.
That would be fun.
Which one can you play against other people?
I think both of them. Let's see.
Wordle clone, a Mastermind-like game, but instead of colors, you need to guess words. And then there's Wordle, an open-source Wordle game. Guess the words in 6 tries. Each guess must be a valid 5-letter word. What we need to do is just set up like some scoreboard page where we can just post scores as opposed to just throwing it all in the Matrix room.
Yeah, it really litters everything up.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now, and you guys play a lot of games.
If we get new users, they're going to be like, what is this? But I thought about, you know, picking a game that you can just kind of jump in and out of and then pulling up, you know, hosting a server for it, and we can all kind of go in and play every once in a while or something, and maybe browser, you know, where you can play through a browser, you don't need a client. I was looking for a game like that that I could link to the Matrix room, and then anybody could just kind of jump in and play it if they want to.
The only thing I could think of a game like that would have been like a Minecraft clone.
Yeah,
because the whole idea of Minecraft is just building stuff, and it doesn't, you know, you can go off and do whatever you want. It's all in the same world, and it doesn't necessarily affect, you don't have to be there at the same time as anybody else.
Maybe I'll look into that, what was that one, Mind Test?
Well, Mind Test is the, that game they used to play on the phone, wasn't it?
No, that was Mindustry. Mind Test, I think, is like, kind of like Minecraft.
Well, Mindtest is an open-source voxel game engine. Play one of many games, mod a game to your liking, and make your own game, or play a multiplayer server. Is that like Minecraft?
I think
you're right. I think that one is.
I put the gallery in the Matrix room. It looks like Minecraft.
Yeah. Yep.
And it has different mods for it, which might be cool to set up a Lugcast Mind Test room.
Sure.
There are over 1,100 open source mods on ContentDB, which are ready to be used, adapted, or learned from. Texture packs, multiplayer support, play by yourself locally with your friends, or online with dozens of players on a server. I've never really got into Minecraft. I had it a long time ago, but I don't think I really messed with it too much.
I played with it with my kids, and that's really about it.
Do they still play it? Do they like it?
No, they really don't play it much recently. But that's mostly because I put it on their Fire tablets, and it's not really supported by the Fire tablets anymore. It's not in the Fire Store, or the Fire Store is not going to receive it. The version in the Fire Store is not going to receive any more updates. And the Fire tablets are kind of underpowered, so there were times when it was just the lag and the slowdown was unbearable. Whether it was my server that I set up because it was on an old laptop, or whether it was the device itself, I don't know. But I mean, they'd have fun and blow up like half an area, and what the second you got close to that area, it would just cause all sorts of lag.
Mm. I mean, but that's the kind of game I was thinking of, you know, because we're all online at different times, you know, and it'd be hard to get us all together to play a game, but if there's something that we can all just kind of jump in and out of, and that would be kind of cool.
What we need to find is some sort of a self-hosted scoreboard page that we can link to, and that way we could just...
Everybody would still post their scores there in the Matrix. I mean, look at that movie little score I just got, man.
Oh, look at you.
Oh.
Not that that one was difficult.
See, now I gotta see what it is.
Now you gotta check it.
Now I gotta check it. Where's the room? Framed. Alright, see, I haven't played Bouvidel. I've been playing Framed.
Framed was pretty easy, too. I mean, I got it on the third one.
Let's try to get through these before we start playing games.
No, we're too late. Honk is going to go to the movie. Like, this has got to be some low-hanging fruit right here.
Let's see what else we got. Well, that was Game Talk. Lost the Lemmy page. Oh, yeah, we got... That's what I was saying earlier. We got 57 subscribers on Lemmy and only 48 on Reddit.
Wow.
Our audience knows what's up.
Probably some people left Reddit.
Mm-hmm. Lots of Rail news, reactions to Rail's paywall. Oracle had a statement. They came out, of all people, freaking Oracle. Let's see. Keep Linux open and free. We can't afford not to.
Oracle said that?
Mm-hmm. Rocky Linux said they didn't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
I read today that Alma Linux tried to submit a patch upstream and RHEL refused it. Said it wasn't necessary. It's a security patch. Oh, here's a Linux hits all-time high of 3% of desktop PC share after 30 years. It's highest market share ever.
And it's probably actually a little bit higher than that, because that's just like desktops and then, you know, the browsers that go to that site. That's not including things like the Steam Deck or anything like that.
Oh, it's not? I didn't know that. I thought the Steam Deck is what pushed it up.
Now, yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
But how many people use their Steam Deck to browse the web?
I guess not a lot. Honky probably does.
Honky's, I don't use it often that way.
Yeah, Honky's a little bit special, though.
Indeed.
His mother told him so.
Indeed.
How did Mac OS climb up so high? It said in 2018 they were at 12.33%. And today, 21.38%.
Okay, well, because most people, when they're looking for an alternative to Windows, because Windows sucks, aren't going to jump on the Linux train.
That's crazy, though. Mac OS? Okay. Well, I forgot about the MacBook. I was thinking, who the hell still has iMac? Who buys iMacs and things like that at home, you know? Home PCs.
Ruby developers?
Yeah, but I'm sure, I mean, the MacBook is probably like the number one developer laptop out there. And I read an article on the Register. I didn't post it here, but they were talking about Chrome OS is basically Linux. It's not like Android. It is Linux, you know. And they don't count it as part of Linux. Chrome OS has 4.15%. And Linux is 3.08%.
On top of the Linux kernel, right?
Yeah, it is. So if you count Chrome OS, then you got Linux running over 7%.
And that's still not counting things like the Steam Deck. So
and tablets and phones.
And phones, Android phones. Of course, I don't know, we might have to make a distinction there, because if you want to call Chrome OS Linux, then do you have to call Mac BSD?
Well,
I would not.
I'll post this. The Register had a snarky title that says, Linux has nearly half of the desktop OS Linux market. It would be twice as much if people could stop arguing about who counts and who doesn't. I'll put it in the show notes. But basically it says...
Considering I was just making that argument, yeah.
So they say, or the Register says that excluding just over 4% that is Chrome OS, which is also Linux, but the wrong kind of Linux. Problem with this is that Chrome OS is also a Linux distribution. It's a strange distro, non-standard in several ways. But current versions are built on Gentoo Linux, switching from an Ubuntu basis some years earlier. We feel that a more accurate reckoning would be that Linux has now reached 7.23%.
It's a tough call. I mean, because Chrome OS is controlled by Alphabet, so...
It says, why shouldn't Chrome OS count? It's a Linux kernel and a Linux user land on top of the standard glibc library. You can open a shell if you want. You can run a Debian container, and once you're in there, install and run any Debian app. The register's FOSS Desk experimental Chrome OS Flex machine runs Firefox and DOS MU. If someone said Android is not a Linux, that is defensible. You can't easily download it for free, and you can't run it on your own generic off-the-shelf computer. There have been a few experimental Android-based desktop OSs, but so far they've all flopped. On its native platform of smartphones and tablets, you can't run ordinary Linux apps on Android. It's a different sort of beast, even though technically it is Linux in as much as it is, has a Linux kernel, but that's about it. It even has a weird, non-standard, non-GPL libc bionic. By default, and unless cracked, it's set from the kernel, it has nothing else Linux-like about it, but that's not the case for Chrome OS. It just, all Chrome OS has is a unique GUI layer, which, unlike the one in macOS, is open source. It's a relatively standard Linux, which can run standard Linux apps out of the box on both x86 and ARM. As such, it's the most successful desktop Linux there is. They make a pretty good case, I think.
Yeah, okay.
I've never used Chrome OS, so I don't know anything about it.
Neither have I.
Don't you have it, Mortensy?
Yeah, this is my 2016-2017 Chromebook that you see me on.
So can you run standard Linux apps on it?
I have a shell, and I can run stuff. I specifically bought this one because I'm supposed to be able to upgrade the hard drive and install straight Linux on it, but I haven't gotten it to boot off USB. And I don't think I can change the memory or hard drive. But if I get a replacement, then I will hack at it.
I'm just waiting for Honky to say it's getting late.
Is it getting late, Honky?
It is getting late, but what happened to my sound, and why do I sound like a Koi? Either way. Yeah, I've gotten myself down in a rabbit hole of trying to find a scoreboard web app that we could use.
Oh. Let's see. Let me see if I can find anything else here.
Can you federate Lemmy?
Do what?
Is Lemmy federatable?
Lemmy? Yeah, it's federated.
So if I set up one and connect to yours, then I could replicate?
Yeah. I mean, you could just do a search within your own instance, and you can find Linux, and you can subscribe to communities on Linux. I could subscribe to communities on yours, or you could set up an account on Linux if you want to. We've got several users on there. Let's see, how many users do we have here? Not a lot. 11 users are subscribed to, or not subscribed, but have accounts on the Linux server. Communities have a lot of subscribers.
Is this linked into other accounts on your system? Do I have one?
Linux? Or Lemmy, I mean?
Yeah. Do I have an account on your minix.dev? Is it?
Is it different
for this?
I don't think you do. If you had an account on any of my stuff, it would be Lemmy. I mean, the only things I have is like Mastodon, but I'm the only user on my Mastodon server. Matrix. There's a few people that have accounts on my Matrix server. I don't know if you do or not. Other than that, I can't really think what else you would have an account for. But you can create an account on Linux. It's open. You just gotta write like that you're not a bot or something like that. I think Lovecraft has an account on there.
Yep.
Oh, one more thing I wanted to go over. It's pretty cool. It's called Lazy Docker. And it's basically a CLI program to monitor your Docker, whatever Docker containers you got running on the server that you install Lazy Docker on. Let me put it in the show notes here. It's really cool. Plus, it's mouse clickable, which is neat. But if you go to that GitHub page, it shows you how it works, and you don't have to type Docker PS to see everything, and it shows how much resources they're using. It says elevator pitch. Something's not working. Maybe the service is down. Docker Compose PS. Yep, it's that microservice that's still buggy. No issue. I'll just restart it. Docker Compose restart. Okay, now let's try again. Oh, wait, the issue is still there. Docker Compose PS. Right, so the service must have stopped immediately after starting. I probably would have known that if I was reading the log stream, but there's a lot of clutter in that from other services. I could get the logs for just that one service, but Docker Compose logs follow my service. That dies every time the service dies, so I need to run. He just goes over all the things that can happen. He says, what a headache. Memorizing Docker commands is hard. Memorizing aliases is slightly less hard. Keeping track of your containers across multiple terminal windows is near impossible. What if you had all the information you needed in one terminal window with every common command living one key press away and the ability to add custom commands as well? Lazy Docker's goal is to make that dream a reality. And you can also install Lazy Docker as a Docker container. But it has a video there, or a little animated GIF, I guess, showing it running. It's pretty cool looking. I want to try it. You can read your compose files and logs. The logs function is really cool. That's something I struggle with, because logs fill up so quick that, and you're trying to look for what happened, and you can't find what happened. Especially when you're trying to post your logs.
That's what,
what she said.
Cat is for.
Yeah, but cat may not, you know, you just do cat and you can't, it's filled up with so much information, and maybe you just want to look at the tail, but then you go to tail and it looks like it's already past what you wanted to see. So this is a pretty cool way to do it, I think. Plus, it's neat that it shows your resource usage, too. I think it works with Podman as well. Let me see. Make sure I'm not making that up. Oh, maybe not. I guess not. I thought it did. Maybe I was reading something else.
I can't log into Lemmy.
My Lemmy? Did you create an account? Did you create a Lemmy?
I logged into your server. I tried to log into your server. Set up an account.
You try to create an account at limix.minix.dev? Really?
Does he need approval?
Oh.
Maybe.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, let me approve you. Okay, you should be good now. Try to log in, Morency.
It worked immediately.
Okay.
You may have to change the language and something else.
Yeah. Make sure you. It's why Lemmy even bothers with this stupid language bullshit is beyond me. It's not necessary. But make sure you have English as well as whatever the first option is highlighted, undetermined or something.
Yeah.
In your profile, or else it'll make it to where you can't really post or read other posts. And that's not a problem with my instance. It's what Lemmy does itself. And I don't understand why. I understand why.
It said something else about not server updates.
Oh, yeah. Subscribe to server updates on the Linux instance. If you want to. Just so you can see when I'm doing updates or if there's issues. Like today I pushed one for with the last update, there was an issue with the people weren't able to upload images. And so I just posted that in the server updates. Lemmy's communities are dictated by that exclamation point before community name. Server news, I believe, is the community. Or you can just go to communities and it'll show you which communities are local on the Linux server. But yeah, I'm going to install that Lazy Docker. That's pretty cool looking, I think. Did you find anything, Honky? A scoreboard or a scorecard or anything like that?
Kind of. There's a... Here, let me post it in... Thank you.
Thank you.
something, though. You have some serious background noise going on.
Oh, yeah. Like, how? Like,
sounds like you're kind of in a shower.
I wonder if it's because the washing machine's going. I'll mute it when I have more of a chance to. I have it open at the moment because right before the show, I have a Amazon Basics UPS that I had the cable modem and routers plugged into, and apparently it's just decided to die. So right before the show too. So I've been on a mad scramble trying to get everything plugged in and hopefully working.
Router.
With any luck, I might be able to get it set up so I can actually have show notes tonight.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Is that why I can't get to the show notes?
At the moment, yes.
Awesome.
Right. I got to figure out what else that was on and died and why it died. What else is plugged into this?
Well, because it was once alive.
Died because it was once alive? Okay, yeah, that's logic.
Without a doubt, you cannot argue with a logic like that.
That's a quote from a friend of mine who used to keep fit.
We are joined this evening by Tom Selleck.
What are you?
Anybody here recording is on?
I'm recording going.
Test. 1, 2, 3. Test.
Mute one of your things.
Yeah, I do that so I can link the, or sync the video with the audio. Then I turn my mic off, Joe.
Okay.
You don't know me.
Well, I heard about it.
Somebody had a birthday this week.
Did have a birthday this week.
But did he get his spankings? Honky was in charge of that.
Well, I did have a problem.
With your spankings?
No. I had a bad reaction to that medication that I was taking.
The new one?
The testosterone one?
Wait, no.
The appetite suppressant?
Yeah, the phentermine.
Really? What happened?
Severe depression, anxiety, paranoia, bad mood swings.
It's basically like an amphetamine, right?
Yeah. But I'm like, most people take 37.5 grams, and I was taking 15.
So like half the dose.
Yeah. But the thing was, is my doctor didn't tell me that I shouldn't have a lot of caffeine with it. And
oh.
Yeah, whoopsie daisy.
Oh, really? And that made it worse?
You shouldn't take extra stimulants with your stimulants?
Yeah, yeah. Bad. It was bad.
I'm sorry, that sucks.
Very severe paranoia and depression. And occasional raging.
Who?
How long did that last?
It took me a little while to, you know, put the pieces together that it was the medication causing it. I had done my research on the medication in the first place before I started taking it, or at least I thought I had. And then I started using my symptoms as key words. And some really, really interesting shit came up, and yeah, I quit taking it. So that went on for like a week.
Did it ruin your birthday?
No, I stopped taking it on the 17th. And another really bad thing that happened with it, I did lose 15 pounds, but I lost 15 pounds in 16 days. And
that's so
extremely,
fast.
Extremely, extremely not a healthy way to lose weight.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Was it suppressing your appetite to where you didn't eat or what?
Well, not only was it suppressing my appetite, not so that I couldn't eat, but so that I didn't care so much about eating. So I was somewhere between like 1,700 and 2,000 calories a day. And it also elevated my heart rate and made it so that I constantly had to be moving.
Man, you were all kinds of miserable.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, 15 pounds in 16 days is not healthy. I can't say anything more than it was really, really bad.
Rotten.
I have not told my doctor yet, but...
Sounds like a nightmare.
I'm taking that stuff again.
I don't see why they put you on it to begin with. That's crazy.
Because they're dumb and they go by BMI instead of like body fat percentage.
Did you see that they're changing that now across the board?
They
no
need
more
to.
BMI. Yeah. Body fat percentage is what they're going to go by.
Right, cuz I'm 21, maybe 22% body fat, which is still, you know, not perfect. It's a little on the high side, but because of my muscle and the fact that I'm a bigger guy, my BMI is like 31.
Now, what do you weigh?
Me, well, when I started taking the pills, I was about, and I got down to like 217, and I think right now I'm at...
Is he cutting out for everybody else or just me?
Yeah, I might be cutting out. I adjusted my sound because I had some fan noise, and so I raised my gate. Let me see if I can fix that for you.
I'm going to measure my body composition right now
okay.
on my watch.
You know what?
We'll see what it says.
Mine. I think I might have set mine a bit high from the week when I didn't have a voice, so I might have to go in and fix that.
Yeah, I had adjusted mine down, and then I still needed to point my fan elsewhere, so hopefully I don't have all the problems.
...going on, so... Let's try to set...
Oh, that's a very lovely keyboard.
Gnome, bleh.
Well, no, that's not right. I'm way
above
12%. Let me do it again.
What percentage is it saying you're at?
12.7.
Yeah, you can be shredded at 12.
Okay, let's try it again.21. That's more like body fat. So that's pretty close. I'm 228 with 21% body fat.
What's your height?
6'1". Yeah, so my BMI is 30.1.
Yeah.
You're 6'1", 228.
According to your BMI, you're obese.
Yeah. Didn't get on my steps today. Yeah, that sucks.
I did. I got like 14,000 steps in today.
I'm just under. I'm at 9,300. 10,000. So how are you feeling now?
I'm still a bit out of it, but I am a lot better.
That's good.
A lot calmer.
It really screws your head up, huh?
Oh yeah, it messed with me hard. I was getting ready to change the beneficiary of my insurance. Yeah.
That bad?
Yeah, no, dude, I can't even describe.
Man, it really puts you under. That's crazy.
Thank you.
I will be kind of back and forth tonight. I'm going on vacation, so getting everything ready.
Yeah, I got told again that I have to take vacation, so
now's the time. Get out of heat.
First week of August, I'll be taking vacation.
Going somewhere cooler, I hope?
No.
Where are you going?
I can't afford to go anywhere. I'm staying at the house.
Staycation, they call it?
Yeah. You have to have money to go places.
You do. I can't think what I've been up to. I haven't really watched anything unique lately or new. I saw the trailer for the new Walking Dead series, Daryl Dixon.
I watched a couple of things, but not a lot. I mean, I watched first like 4 episodes of John Doe, and then I watched Commando. I had to rinse the taste out of my brain of Laser Blast.
Oh, that's a classic.
Oh, come on. Laser Blast was fun.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about it soon.
I watched something on VHS, and I can't remember what it was. Must have been pretty good.
Was it the movie VHS?
No.
I was thinking that exact same thing, too.
It was, let's see. I think it was an action movie, maybe? Or a horror? Shoot. I remember it being really weird. Can't remember what it was called. I'll think of it. Oh, I know what
it was. The new.
It was a horror called Mother's Day from 82 or 83, something like that. It was real low budget. It was really crazy, though. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Morty.
I watched the new Justified spinoff. I think it's Primal City, something like that.
I think you're right.
And then What We Do in the Shadows started back up. And there's a new show called Almost Paradise.
That, sir, is not a new show. It is on my Plex. It's on my Plex for more than a year.
Oh, mine just, I just found it.
Yeah, that's because it aired in the Philippines.
I see. It's just now airing on FX, I think.
It's a decent show. I enjoyed it. The guy from Leverage and Angel and The Librarians.
Yeah, him.
What episode are you on?
I'm just like a couple minutes into it before this started. Christian Kane.
Yeah.
I watched The Ozarks.
I made it about halfway through the first episode and I went, no.
A less interest Breaking Bad.
It was just there was a couple of scenes in the beginning of that first episode that I'm just like, nope, I'm out.
I just had it playing while I was working for the last week and a half. Last two weeks.
Wasn't he like masturbating to a video of his wife fucking somebody else?
Yes.
I think it's right about the time I'm like, yep, nope.
Secret Invasion? The new Star Trek.
Still only watched the first episode of Secret Invasion.
I was going to say, how was Secret Invasion? I forgot that was out.
Eh.
Eh?
I mean, it's okay. I mean, they spent all that time portraying the Skrill as bad and then redeeming them at the end of Marvel, Captain
right.
Marvel.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Only to make a series about them being bad.
It's okay. There's supposed to be new episodes of Record of Ragnarok on Netflix that I haven't watched yet. Hopefully I'll get to watch those soon.
New season of Slasher. Season 5. I don't know what it's about, but each season is a an homage to a 80s slasher style movie. You know, like people coming back to camp, stuff, murder on Halloween, things like that. There was some other movie I watched. I can't remember. Oh, I finished Cobra Kai, or to the current season. And I watched Vikings Valhalla.
What's Cobra Kai?
Cobra Kai is the Karate Kid 20 years later.
Cobra Kai. I thought you said like Holbrook High.
Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai. That makes more sense.
We can spell Cobra with a K.
We can prove we can't spell.
And I think a Korean series called Extracurricular.
K-dramas are fun.
Honky, is everybody talking about that Gilgo Beach killer up there? They caught the guy.
What is it?
That serial killer, the Gilgo Beach killer from Long Island.
Killed 4 people.
I don't know.
What year was that?
Like 3 and a potential.
2011 or something? And it'd been unsolved. Oh, Joe, did you see we got our own serial killer here now?
No,
they just connected a third victim to him. They caught the guy, and he's been dumping the bodies off at the Trinity River over in East Dallas, Southeast Dallas, or West
Dallas.
Serial
killer in Southeast Dallas?
Southwest Dallas.
Southwest Dallas.
Yeah, they caught him. So today they connected a third victim to him, and they said there's probably more.
Dumping bodies off in the Trinity River.
Yep.
Jackie hasn't heard about it either.
I haven't been watching anything. I've been watching just Tubi. I've been watching like a bunch of riff tracks and stuff like that, and then mostly just listening to Jack Reacher. I'm up to book 10. Apparently there's a new season of the show coming out, too, and it's supposed to be based on book 11.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just today, started and finished a book, the most recent book from Brandon Sanderson, Yumi and the Nightmare Painter. And I have to say, it is an excellent book. I highly recommend. And before that, I was listening to Harley Merlin, because it's like a 20-something book series.
Yeah, I downloaded a ton of the Reacher series, and then what was the other thing I got off you recently? The Altered Carbon, I think, series.
The Takashi Kovac novels?
Yes.
I enjoy that series.
Altered Carbon, Broken Angels, and Woken Furies.
Yeah, the first book and the third book are both really good. The second book...
Then I think I got up to 17 I downloaded off you of the Jack Reacher series. I gotta go back and get the rest of them once I get that far. Figured after, 17 books would at least keep... And 3 of the other ones would at least keep me busy for a while.
Yeah.
But I was... My washing machine died on me, and so I had been playing around trying to get that to work. First, I thought it was the lid lock on it, so I replaced that, and it didn't work. And then I wound up replacing the drain pump on it, and that's what it was. I got the old drain pump off, find this giant chunk of metal that looks like it was part of like a hair barrette or something like that that got wedged into there. Now it's working, but it was several nights of, taking the thing apart, trying to root around in there, part of it was sometimes draining the water, because the problem was that it wouldn't drain water, so I'd take the drain pipe and I'd put my shop back up to it and drain it all out, and it's been raining like a bastard all the month of July here, so I'm standing outside in the rain, dumping water out. It'd be like 11 o'clock at night, I'm soaked and,
Oh my gosh, it has been over 100 for how many days in a row?
Yeah,
10 days in a row.
Heat. You guys have just had horrible, horrible heat, haven't you? We've had humidity and rain. That's what we've had. No matter how are you surviving all this humidity and rain?
Pretty well.
Yeah.
I got in circulation inside. Working nights, sleeping days.
That makes sense. Humidity has just been awful.
Amber, you been watching anything good? YouTube or whatever?
Yeah. I got some stuff. There's supposed to be a new containerized virtualization thing called DistroBox. I'm supposed to come in with Debian 12. I'm going to be looking forward to it when MX moves up.
Did you guys hear that Kevin Mitnick died?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
What was he, 59?
Yeah, pancreatic cancer.
So that's pretty young. Tony Bennett died today. In 93. Lovecraft, you been watching anything good?
I just finished Silo two nights ago. That was pretty interesting. And I finished season two of From, which was excellent. Really crazy twist at the end. So I'm definitely looking forward to season three, but it's going to be a long wait.
I hope I didn't say anything to ruin that for the last time.
No. What you said made me want to jump on it and watch it even sooner. I was trying to, you know, let it last for a little bit, but no, it was really good. I really, really enjoyed it. So I hope it holds up, and I hope the writer's strike doesn't impact it in a negative way, and they can bring it all together in a cohesive manner. Other than that, not a whole lot. I've been trying to go back and like I was doing with Dark Angel and watch a little bit of an older show. Right now I'm starting Prime Evil, which is like a...
Starts out good.
The BBC one?
I just got to episode 4. So.
No, the Canadian one. Evil's a Canadian show.
It seems to be set in Britain, but maybe it's Canadian production.
I might be wrong, too. It's been a while since I watched it, but I did enjoy the show.
Yeah, the one with, like, the dinosaurs coming through the portals and...
Right.
Yeah, the archaeologist guy lost his wife, and she seems to be on the other side of one of these portals, so...
Yeah, and they go into the future and the past and everywhere else, and... Like I said, it starts out wrong.
I'll keep you guys informed. See where we're at.
Is that the one where they... are stuck in the past of the dinosaurs, and they make the colony and stuff there?
No, that's a different show.
What show is
that? Is that Land of the Lost?
No, it's not Land of the Lost. They did it. I know what he's talking about, but I can't remember the name of the show.
You guys thinking of Terra Nova?
Terra Nova, that's right. Yep.
I never saw that. I just remember the ads.
That just did one season and then ended. It was pretty good, though. But not really a whole lot of story.
Which one was Terra Nova?
I just told you.
Where they were stuck in the past?
Yeah.
And they had they're sending people back to the past.
Yeah, there was like a pollution problem.
Yeah, there was an everything problem, and they were supposed to be going back and seeing if they could change the world. But they were they bringing stuff back? They were just colonizing, or were they bringing stuff back? I don't remember.
I don't remember watching the entire series, but from what I understood, they started a colony there, and that was how they were saving people.
Okay, I was thinking of a different one. There was a show where it was an EMP. It was like an EMP went off and shut down all electric stuff in the world, and everything went to kind of a...
Right, except it wasn't an EMP. It was like nanites or something, and if you could turn them on, they would heal people and crazy crap like that. Vaguely remember that show, too.
Oh, yeah, I remember. And there was like one guy who, in the previous world, he worked for like a huge like Google tech company, and yeah, I can't remember what that was called. I think it was like a one-word title, though.
Yeah.
It only lasted one season.
Yeah, the show, well,
I'm not sure if it made it one season.
Yeah, it wasn't that good, but it had some interesting concepts in it, if I remember correctly.
Revolution?
Yes.
No. Was it Revolution? Okay.
I just looked it up, so I think that's it. That was the one where there was the EMP or whatever it was. The problem that ruined everything.
Because electricity continued not working. Trying to remember this other show. What was that one with the aliens?
I think you're right. It was Revolution. Wiley.
What's the name of that brand?
That was a great one. Falling Skies.
Falling Skies.
It was with one of the aliens and Noah Wiley. That was great because it was a lot like. It had that same kind of a concept of zombie movies where they do a lot of hiding out and stuff from the aliens, and the aliens would come by and like kidnap kids and stuff. But at the same time, there was a lot of fighting the aliens, and it was I really liked that show.
And there was that one show that was on right after Stargate went off with the girl from Stargate, and that was Sanctuary.
Oh yeah, Sanctuary.
Yep. Sanctuary sounds familiar.
And then there was that one that was set in what was it on the Golden Gate Bridge or next to the Golden Gate Bridge with the aliens, and it was on the Sci-Fi Channel, and like
the V.
Basically, Sci-Fi Channel allowed like their role-playing game that they created for the show to control how the show went, and destroyed the show.
That wasn't the Golden Gate Bridge, though. You're talking about the St. Louis Arches.
Oh, okay, St. Louis Arches.
That was Jesus. I saw that show. Damn it! I'm trying to look.
Yeah, I know the show you're thinking of. I can't think of it either.
Defiant.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, I liked that show, but it felt like it just kept on going on without like any real end in sight.
Yeah, and until your player base trolled Sci-Fi Channel and destroyed the show.
See, when I was watching the show, I didn't realize that there was anything related to any sort of a game with it. So
I wasn't going to play the RPG, but
I worked with somebody who was playing it, and he was just obsessed with it and doing all these raids, and yeah, he couldn't stop talking about it. I can't believe I forgot the name of it.
It's been several years now.
Yeah, he still talks about it from time to time though.
Where did that come out? 2013? Yeah, 2013.
All right. Did we want to start the show?
Did you get the show notes working?
Yeah, they're up.
What was wrong with it?
My whole internet went down. Well, I had my cable modem and both my routers and the thing that was hooked up to the banana pie that does the show notes was all hooked up to a UPS that I had. And that UPS just gave up the ghost, and I just got home a little while ago from a friend's birthday party at the beach, and my wife tried to use one of our Alexa devices to turn on a light, and she goes, "Oh, it says we have no internet access." Well, that's interesting. Come downstairs, and like everything is dead. I'm like, "Fuck!" Right before
was
the
it
show,
a clam bake?
No. I don't eat anything out of the water. No. I'm not eating anything out of the water. Where's my notebook? We're quite literally just hanging out on the beach. There you are.
Were you drinking?
Of course.
Doing drugs?
Listen, you shoot it up in between your toes, no one really knows, all right?
So you snort take some stuff. Pills your doctor gave you.
We'll see that, too.
Yeah, blow your mind.
Right?
Where are we at?
What show are we?
224.
Oh my god.
It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
The Linux Link Tech Show. Tune in to the world's longest-running Linux podcast live every Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Find us on the web at www.twlts.org or email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. IRC server, thelinuxlink.net/techshow. Join Pat, Alan, Link, and Joel. And don't forget the two Dans. They are so hot. I know, because I've kissed them both. And Flying Ridge, he's a bloody drunko.
If you don't like a guest, you can get up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll get back.